Like many early prophets, Zechariah tells of a day when the ideal king would enter Jerusalem with shouts of jubilant celebrations of the people. Yet unlike other kings, this king enters humbly, riding on a donkey. A beast of burden, not on a war horse. Yet he will establish real justice. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It's a biblical Hebrew phrase meaning pray, save us. God, save us. God has given him the victory. And now he shares that victory with us, his people, who turn to him. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke 19.
The heading of the reading is Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.' Amen."
Let's pray, shall we? Our Lord, we thank you that you are love. Lord, and we thank you that we see love in many ways, in nature, in your beautiful creation. And of course, Lord, as we remember Holy Week, we see love in action on the cross. So Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord, it's our small way of recognizing that love that you have for us. Use our gifts wisely to see your kingdom grow, we pray in your name. So on Palm Sunday, it's all about entrance, isn't it? Jesus' entrance into the city. I'm wondering if you want to close your eyes for a minute and dream. If you were going to make an entrance, how would you do it? If you were going to make an entrance, how would you do it? What music would be playing? How would you arrive? on a horse, in a limousine, like Bronwyn Bishop in a helicopter. She actually came to mind because my brother's at Chatswood and she's the Red Shield chairperson in the Chatswood area. What outfit would you be wearing? Well, is that one of the roles or things I get to do, which I think is an incredible privilege in my role as an officer, is I get to do people's funerals. And I say that honestly, it's a great privilege to be able to lead people in this special moment. There's one particular funeral that I did which had this incredible entry. Yes, there is. There's one funeral that I did that had this incredible entry to it. This lady, Rob, she was always late. Always late for everything. You know, you had to tell her that if you had to be somewhere at, if something started at 10 o'clock, you had to tell Rob it started at 9:30. And then she would only then be 5 minutes late. It's the sort of lady that Rob was. It was so funny that, in fact, people would joke that Rob would arrive late for her own funeral. And so as part of this, this is what we set up. We set it up so Rob would arrive late for her funeral. The funeral was in the afternoon at about 2 o'clock. And so we started the service. The hearse hadn't even arrived yet. And we started the service right at 2 o'clock. And we talked a bit about Rob's life and whatever else. And her husband got up to give the eulogy. And his eulogy started about Rob always arriving late. And that we always joked that she would arrive late for her funeral. And it was all planned and teed up at that she would arrive at that moment. And so her husband was Robert. He was talking, and then all of a sudden, the funeral directors came in, made a little bit of noise, because that was all planned, and they escorted Rob down to make an entrance late for her funeral. If you were to make an entrance, how would you do it? Today we've been looking at one of the most famous entries in all of history, and perhaps one of the most important. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What we celebrate today on Palm Sunday is the start of Holy Week. But I guess we need to understand, first of all, why this event is important. Why was it important that Jesus made this entry into Jerusalem? Why was Jesus and the disciples actually going to Jerusalem in the first place? Well, first of all, it was Passover. It was tradition to return to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. So it was part of their growing up, it was part of their tradition to return back to Jerusalem. If you've ever done a Passover meal, a lot of Passover meals will end with the phrase, next year in Jerusalem. And the reason we say that is because it was tradition for Passover to be held in Jerusalem. But there's more than that. We started this morning with the prophecy in Zechariah 9. Jesus had to fulfill a prophecy that was uttered all those years ago by the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, victorious and righteous, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. But even if there wasn't a prophecy, Jesus did this to obey the will of God. Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus knew that he was called to fulfill God's plan for redemption. Jesus' entry to Jerusalem was not just a friendly visit to a big city for the holidays. There was a bigger picture that had to play out in the last week of Jesus' human earthly life. While we understand why Jesus was going to Jerusalem, it's almost funny to think that the beginning of Jesus' final week started on this donkey. Or perhaps not this donkey, but a donkey like the one on the screen. The donkey. My guess is that when we thought about how we would arrive, none of us picked a donkey. None of us would choose a donkey to make a grand entrance. The fact that Jesus used a donkey as his choice of vehicle is amazing in itself. In fact, the whole situation around the donkey seems quite remarkable. Jesus doesn't just go past the local donkey hiring shop and take whatever model of donkey was available. He gives his disciples some very explicit instructions. We heard in Luke 19, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks," of course someone's going to ask, "why are you untying it? Say that the Lord needs it." So they went ahead and found it just like he said it was. And of course the owner says, "Hey, why are you stealing my donkey?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." Jesus knew there would be a colt that had never been ridden. He knew that the owner would be moved to allow the use of this colt. And he knew the significance of riding a donkey into the city. We already know about him fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. But think about this for a moment. If Jesus is able to work out the details of getting a donkey when he needs one, he is certainly concerned about the details of the world that we live in, and with your life and with my life. Jesus cares about each one of us and has a will and a way for our lives. It's not a coincidence that he chose a colt, a humble work animal, waiting and ready to complete the task. Jesus takes the simple and elevates it to royal status. This simple donkey was carrying the King of the universe into the holy city. Jesus knew the circumstances and possibilities of that day, and he knows the circumstances and possibilities of our life as well. The truth is, just like the donkey, there's a part for each one of us to play in the bigger story of who Jesus is and what he's doing in the world. Are you letting God work in and through your life? Because letting God work in your life starts by knowing him as King. We'll go to the next slide. In Luke 19, it continues, "When he came near the place where the road goes up to the Mount of Olives..." Now, Emma said to us this morning, "Oh, you're talking about the Mount of Olives. We should have olives for lunch." The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So who is the King? Who is King Jesus? The one to whom they shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Well, he's a different king that has ever come and will ever come. You know, we've used this passage a few times during Lent in Philippians 2. "Have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus was humble, and Jesus was obedient to the Father. These aren't typical kingly characteristics that you would find in a ruler's resume. But Jesus understood the nature of grace and love. He understood that we were incapable of relating to God until an atonement was made. Now, atonement is one of those funny church words that we use. It's not a word that we use out in public, is it? Not, oh, hello, how's your atonement going today? It's one of those words that sometimes need a little bit of explaining. But basically, atonement means that Jesus removed all the barriers that stopped us, all the sin that stopped us from having a relationship with God. Sometimes it seems like Jesus looks at what the world is expecting and does the exact opposite. Because Jesus is humble and obedient to the Father's will. He sets an example on how we as his people can be people of peace in a turbulent world. But Jesus just doesn't show us peace. He gives us peace. So as we enter into Holy Week, an opportunity to once again pause and reflect on the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Is Jesus King of your life? The only way to experience true peace in your day-to-day living is to let Jesus take his rightful place as King. Is he King of your present and your future? Is he King of your hopes and dreams? My prayer is that after the shouts of Hosanna have quietened down, as we bow before God and pray for revival, that a great multitude of people would come to Christ and honour him as King of their lives. That we would see spiritual healing, that our eyes would be open, that God would teach us how to love others like he loves us. That our lives, both personally and corporately, would be completely sold out for Christ. That generations would rise up and bring honour and praise to our humble King. May it be so, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, may we honour you as King of our lives. Not just today on Palm Sunday with shouts of Hosanna, but each and every day. And in doing so, Lord, may our lives lead to other lives being transformed and changed because they want what we've got. May we see revival, Lord. And may all glory be given back to you. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.